Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Coach's Corner. I'm Coach Andrew Poritz from Ingenuity Coaching. I help people discover and fulfill their passions and greatness. My mission is to inspire and challenge you to dream big dreams, and with my coaching, help you to make those dreams come true. You can visit my website at myfuturecoach.com and follow me on Twitter at Coach Andrew. If you're listening live and you have a question, the phone number here is 646-929-2893. Again, that's 646-929-2893. You'll be able to listen to the show while you're on the phone, and if you press the number 1, I'll know you have a question. We also have a live chat room right on the show page. It's live now, where you can feel free to join in, and I will be monitoring it. My guest tonight is Kelly Carroll, and Kelly has appeared in film, stage, opera, musical theater, cabaret, and off-Broadway. Kelly is also a dead ringer impersonator of Hillary Clinton, and she is known as the singing Hillary Clinton. Her show, Hillary Confidential, is an extremely pro-Hillary, pro-women presentation, great entertainment for all Democratic fundraising events, and you can find out more about her at singinghillaryclinton.com and follow her on Twitter at singinghillary. Kelly, are you with me?
Kelly? No, I sent Kelly out to the limousine. I have to have my San Pellegrino water and my Arkansas yogurt. I can't do an interview unless I've got my Arkansas yogurt and San Pellegrino water. This is Hillary Clinton.
I'm honored, Madam Secretary. Is that the correct thing? Madam Secretary Clinton, is
Madam
that correct?
Secretary is great. I am absolutely thrilled to be on your show. Thank you so much. It's great to be interviewed.
Well, this is in a very, very exciting night. This is the last night of the primary season.
It certainly is.
I feel like Johnny Carson on Karnak with the last question. It's very exciting. After tomorrow, no more of this mishigas, as they say in New York.
Well, I'm hoping not. I'm going to be where I was in 2008 in Brooklyn at that same venue where in 2008 I conceded to Barack Obama and put all my force to get him elected as our president. And I'm hoping we can all come together and do the same thing.
Well, that would be very, very exciting. Now, let me ask you this. Madam Secretary, you would be the first female president, but of course we've had many female secretaries. And a question just came in. What is your typing speed? How did you get the secretary job?
Well, I'm kind of a hunt and pecker, actually. I have other people who type for me. But if I'm really pushed, I guess I could type. But I really just am able to do it with my fingers, my very fast, large fingers.
Fast, large. Well, I understand that Bernie is a two-fingered typist, but did you know that Donald types with just his two middle fingers?
Yes, his tiny little middle fingers. That is right.
Short-fingered vulgarian that he is.
Yes, he is a vulgarian. He's been a vulgarian for a lot of years, hasn't he?
Yeah, it's ironic because I understand he would like to keep all the vulgarians out of the country.
If it's not the vulgarians, it's every other ethnic group possible, isn't it?
It really is. I don't understand him.
He's an absolute nightmare and really scary. We just can't have him anywhere near those. With that tiny little hand of his and his tiny little finger, I think if he pressed really hard, he could press one of those nuclear buttons, and we would be in a world of trouble.
He might get confused between the nuclear button and the the smile button on Twitter.
Yes, he does love his Twitter feed, doesn't he?
And could you imagine? And we're in the middle of a war.
Yeah.
And I'm, of course, I'm imagining a middle of a war if his name is involved, and he's tweeting from the bunker.
Yeah, I could imagine him tweeting from a bunker. He's all hunkered down and safe down where they put the presidents, but the rest of us would be, well, he's a choice between what a fearful America is, where it's less secure and less engaged with the world, and what I feel, where we have a strong, confident America. And that's what we need to go after, is the strong, confident America.
So for a strong, confident America, what would you do as president that would create that scenario?
Well, we already have it. We just have to build on it from there. This is a world and a country, even though he calls it a third world country and a loser country. I would go in and continue with what we already have. He's a disaster. I mean, there's not a country in this world that can rival us. We have the greatest military. We have the biggest economy that's more durable, more entrepreneurial than any in the world. It's Americans work harder, they dream bigger, and we never, ever stop trying to make our country better and the world a better place. And so I would just go from that standpoint, not the negative standpoint.
So why do you suppose that we have a country now where there are so many people who are feeling disenchanted with America or disenchanted with the government and politicians in general, and that's allowing for the kind of vitriolic campaigning of somebody like Donald Trump?
Well, first off, I think Donald Trump uses his grand showmanship, because he is really a reality TV star, to say anything he wants, any way he wants, to cause problems so he'll get free advertising and have free media coverage. And what he's done, which to me is absolutely dangerous, is he's gone ahead and he's taken people, and I hate to say just one group, but the people who seem to support him a lot are white males, 40 to 50 years old, who have high school educations and had great jobs when there were manufacturing jobs, and they felt good about themselves. And I don't know if you know this or not, but that group is actually killing themselves more than any other group in the United States, either by guns, by alcohol, by drugs. And I hate to be so down, but that group then is targeted by Trump because he wants to make America great again when America already is great. And these people then can blame other people for where they are. They can blame Muslims, they can blame Mexicans, they can blame blacks, and not blame themselves. And it's not that they're stupid. It's not anything like that. It's just that they haven't had the opportunities to find other ways of learning about what can work in the 21st century, you know, like solar energy, for example, and other 21st century things they could do, infrastructure, you know, other jobs they could get, but they're not trained to do it. So he's out there having them blame other races, and he really has caused a horrible hatred in this country. I think it's very dangerous, and it's not who we are. We are a diverse nation that works best when we all work together. So absolutely. I'm off my soapbox now.
Oh, okay. Well, it makes you very tall.
I know. I wish I were tall.
So I hate to ask these kinds of questions, but when I think of Hillary Clinton, I can't help but think of some of the negative things that are said in the news, and so there's a few things I might want to touch upon.
Sure.
Now it seems like we finally have ended the Benghazi $7 million worth. And by the way, for the longest time, I thought Benghazi was an Arab doctor show, Dr. Benghazi.
Dr. Benghazi?
That's what I thought it was.
Ben, there was a doctor show with Ben in it years ago.
Yeah, I thought it was
Dr. Ben
Casey,
Casey.
Dr. Benghazi.
Yeah, it was,
I thought
Dr.
it was the Arab
Dr. Ben
version of that. But instead, we've had this soap opera of congressional proportions.
Well, you are absolutely right. I mean, when those Benghazi hearings came, though, I was actually looking forward to it. I'd waited 11 months, and except for three of them, do you know that all 29 of those hearings were behind closed doors? So to me, this was really an opportunity. But if you really want to know what I really felt, I don't know if I should say it actually on...
It's just you and me, Hillary. It's just you and me.
Well,
you can tell me.
Are you sure?
Oh, sure.
Okay. I hate you, rowdy, gouty, you little twerp bastard with your 15 minutes of fame. Shut the fuck up. I hate you.
I'm sorry. The band just played. I told them not to come on yet.
It's a witch hunt. $20 million taxpayer dollars, and after all that time and money, you know what they found? Nothing. No evidence of administration wrongdoing, no evidence of intelligence failure, no evidence of a stand-down order. 1,128 days, 2,780 questions, and that was just the three opening hearings? Oh, fuck you, leave me alone. I didn't do anything.
Yeah,
anyway,
okay. That's
how I really feel about In Truth.
Say, you might need Sanka brand coffee. After that. Wow, that was quite an expression of honesty. It's what we've been looking for from you is the authenticity that some people feel have been missing.
I've wanted to say that about him. I mean, it is like his 15 minutes of fame, and... Mm-hmm. He just keeps popping up, though. He's out there again trying to put more lies out there about me. I mean, 11-plus hours? I answered everything. I haven't found anything.
Anyway. You know that those hearings have gone on longer than the 9/11 Commission, the Kennedy Warren Commission.
That's right.
You name the commission, it's gone on longer.
Yep. You're absolutely positively right. And it does make me sick because what we should be doing is talking about the issues and what people need in this country. I mean, it's a great country, but we have things we have to work on. And the only way to get anything done is to work together. And also elect a Democratic Senate so we can get things done.
That could be a little tricky.
Well, there are only four Senate seats that we have to get, and then we'll be in good shape.
And where are those seats?
Where are they? Let me think. Do I have that? I don't have that information at hand right now, but they're throughout the United States.
Hopefully throughout the United States. I actually have the four seats in my living room.
You do?
So
I
do.
Four seats?
Four seats available, and they are available for Democrats who of all ages who might like to help us with this particular cause.
Well, we need money in order to make sure that they can start really putting the ads out there and really campaigning and putting the groundwork down in each of the states where it's needed to get these people elected. So I think it's very possible. But once again, we have to all come together.
So the next area I would have to bring up is the husband factor. The Bill Clinton can be either looked at as a tremendous asset or as baggage, depending on your point of view.
He's definitely not baggage. He's the smartest man that I know. Well, you know how people say, you know, you don't have a real marriage. It's just an arrangement. And the truth is, my marriage is private and off limits. But I can tell you this: I'm so grateful to him for a lifetime of all kinds of experiences. I mean, Bill and I have gone through births, deaths, marriages, and lots of challenges, as we all do. And through it all, he's the only one who keeps me laughing. He's a force of nature, I simply love him. I've loved him ever since I first met him at Yale Law School. The only change is I love him more today than yesterday.
But not as much as tomorrow.
That's right.
As the song says.
That's right. I do adore him and always have. Well, ever since Yale Law School, when I first met him, I was love
at
first
sight.
Well,
you had these certain things have happened with Bill. And would you be worried about Bill Clinton and your interns, for example?
I don't go there, and I don't discuss my marriage. As I said, it's off limits.
Oh, well, that's but Bill, it's his.
It's off limits.
What if he were to invite Tinder dates to the Lincoln bedroom? I mean, would this be a problem?
As I said, I don't go there.
Okay. You don't go to the Lincoln bedroom?
I might go to the Lincoln bedroom with Bill.
Okay. Good. Aha! We have got an admission of the Lincoln bedroom and the Clintons together. This is a first
year
of Blog Talk Radio. I was able to get an admission.
We already did that when I was first lady, so.
Okay, so you'll be back there.
I can't wait.
Very exciting. Very, very exciting. Did you foresee in the future, hopefully the far distant future, a Clinton coin of any kind?
A Clinton coin?
Yes. Well, we've had, we have Lincoln pennies, we have Kennedy half dollars.
Well, probably long after we're all dead and gone, they might, depending on what they think we did. But
not while
I'm alive.
Well, of course not while you're alive. But let's just say it's 50 years hence.
Yeah.
And they were you were overlooking this scene from hopefully from above. And you were watching Congress choosing the next bill or coin that might have a new presidential face. What coin or bill would you like for Bill, and what coin or bill would you like for Hillary?
Well, I think one of us on a coin should be on one side, and on the other side should be a picture of the other one.
So we would get rid of the bird on the other side?
Yeah, get rid of the damn bird. Just put Bill on one side and Hillary on the other.
And we can send the bald eagle to Hair Club for Eagles.
Yes, exactly. Hair Club for Eagles. Well, maybe we could move him over to the side a little bit.
Okay. Because, I mean, we always have the eagle and sometimes the wreaths or the... the other fun things we've put on coins and then the Illuminati sign. I mean the pyramids, the eyes,
the Illuminati sign. Yeah, well, maybe that's true. That's probably very true.
And the last one I have to ask you about is the emails. What's up with the emails? That's my Jerry Seinfeld.
And I like that. I like that a lot. Well, as I've said, it was a mistake from the standpoint of I wouldn't do it again if I had a chance to choose. But it had been going on with all the other secretaries of state, and it was an accepted practice. So I don't know what the big deal is, except the Republicans are trying to stir up as much as they possibly can to try and derail me, just like they have for the past 30 years, actually longer than that, because that started way back when I was FLOTUS, First Lady of Arkansas.
And then there's no truth to the rumor that this was actually an AOL account and that you started it with one of those old CD-ROMs.
It's not that ancient, no.
Okay. I was wondering if that was...
AOL, who uses AOL? I hate to say that. AOL is going to come down on me now, but...
Well, the people who don't use Prodigy, of course.
Prodigy? I don't know
I'm bringing it back even further. I just was going to see how far we can go back. Well, you know, I actually mentioned that because I don't know if you're aware of it, but the government is using, in some parts of the government, uses technology so old that I think they've only recently gone from like reel-to-reel to cassette or something crazy.
Oh, my God. You are right. I think that's what's happened basically in the Department of Veteran
Affairs.
Floppy
disks. They're finally retiring floppy disks.
Yeah.
And not even the little ones, but the actual ones that flop.
Do you realize what I just saw on
No.
the headlines? Breaking news, Hillary Clinton has clinched the Democratic nomination. How can they say that? It says it's over. We haven't had, that's not possible.
Well, I have even more breaking news. Do you know that Dewey just defeated Truman?
Dewey just defeated Truman?
Just happened. I just got the headline, says it. And I believe everything I read, so therefore it must be true.
Yeah, it must be on Facebook. You got to believe everything that they put
gotta
on
Gotta believe
there.
If it's on Facebook or MySpace, which is even more, you know, the truth. You find the truth, or in chat rooms, or what do you call those things? Comment sections. Yeah. If you're ever want to really feel depressed about our country, read the comment section of anything.
Yeah, you are absolutely right. I don't have much time to do that. In fact, no time right now because I've worked so hard on this campaign. But, I had something else I wanted to talk to you about that's kind of serious.
Yes, well, let's go serious.
Very, very few people know this about what I did as Secretary of State. A lot of people say I accepted Secretary of State to lock up the presidency, but actually when the president asks you to be Secretary of State, you just do it. You know, a million miles and 112 countries later, that job more than qualifies me to be president. And I don't think the race is quite locked up. We're really close, and hopefully tomorrow night we'll know more, but one of the things I did... In every single country I went to, I met with dignitaries, and I'd always meet with dissidents because I felt it was just as important to identify with the dissidents as with the leaders. And there was this one woman in Belarus who had a picture taken with me with my arm around her, and she said to the photographer, "I need that picture." "Oh, sure, I'll get it to you." "No, you don't understand. I need that picture. I need that picture now." "Why do you need it now?" "It's my bulletproof vest." Well, from that experience, I learned that when I went to a country, if I would appear on their national television with the dissidents, suddenly the United States of America would be protecting them, and that way they couldn't just disappear.
Mm.
And I didn't publicize it because it's about them, not me. You know, I know a lot of people never heard about that, but I felt so strongly that these people were out, you know, trying to change things in their country, and their lives were at stake. I mean, that's why that woman said it's my bulletproof vest, just to have this picture so nobody could touch her. And so I remember doing one in Pakistan where there were all these dissident women and men, and I took questions from the audience. It was sort of like a town hall. And that way, by them being on the national television station of that country, they couldn't just be killed. And so I think that's one of the most important things I ever did as Secretary of State.
Oh, wait, I think we have a call coming in from New Hampshire. Is that possible, New Hampshire?
New Hampshire? Could be.
Yeah, caller, can I help you?
Yes, this is Bernie Sanders.
Oh, my God. Yes.
I have been having phone sex with several of the committed delegates in an effort to persuade them to make this country pretty good. I got that from David, Larry David, told me to say that if I called in.
Uh-huh. You're having phone sex with delegates?
I tried, but it wasn't very effective.
It worked at all?
I got hung up on three times.
Oh, you got... Oh, phone sex. Here, I was thinking
yes.
The real thing. I had this horror thought of you actually having sex with delegates. No, you mean phone sex. Well,
I'm very happily married to Jane. And I had a permission to seduce only with my dulcet tones some of those people.
Oh, dear
I tried
God.
Offering some Ben and Jerry's ice cream as well. And nothing. Bupkis is what I got. Bupkis.
Do you think, Bernie, that maybe you and I should work together to defeat Trump? How does that sound?
That sounds pretty good.
Pretty good?
Pretty,
you want to see Trump in there? We've got to work together, Bernie.
I don't want to see Trump anywhere but on those stupid buildings that have his name on it.
Well, that I couldn't agree with you more. And that's bad enough that we have to look at those Trump things on those stupid buildings.
I don't even like to play bridge anymore because somebody always says I trumped you, and I just get very upset.
I couldn't agree with you more, Bernie. You know, we agree on more things than we disagree. And this is the time to have both of us come together and make sure that man doesn't get near the presidency. And I know we can do it.
We could do it, Hillary. And we could do it on an average of $27 in donations from the real people.
Well, I know you've raised a lot of money, Bernie, and that's just great. I also know that the Koch brothers have also been helping you out, but I don't think you even know that they have.
That's what they told me about you. I got I haven't seen this much money since my bar mitzvah.
Well, the Koch brothers I have nothing to do with. They're anathema to me, and I know they're anathema to you too.
They are.
I
only deal with the. I thought it was those two guys, selling the bottles of Coke.
No,
that I love to drink, as you know.
Yes, I know you do, but that gives you a sugar high and will rot your insides. You got to stop drinking Coke. You really
do. That's why I crash every night about 9:30.
I bet you do. You know, it pushes you and pushes you, and then you just have to, you know, give up.
Well,
but
Hillary, tomorrow may
actually,
the best person win. Best person.
Yes.
I won't even say the best man. I won't say the best woman. The best person should win tomorrow in California.
And New Jersey.
And then we can talk.
We can, and we have to just, as I said, we've got to come together. I do have 3 million more votes than you and many more delegates. So.
Delegates.
Well, we're going to come together because you and I know that in order to get all the progressive things passed through so that we can get this country moving forward, we cannot have Donald Trump in there. We can't have him choosing, Supreme Court justices or having him do anything. He'll make us a laughing stock of the world, and we cannot be that.
That's right. Him and his fucked-up wall.
Oh, that wall is ridiculous. He can't do that anyway.
If he were to do that, Canada would make a wall to keep all the people out who want to marry the Canadians.
Exactly. I think we all would probably want to leave. And we might build a wall so that we can just stay in Canada. But no, I love this country so much. I'm going to fight to the end to
that
make sure we have our country.
I would love to continue talking to you, but there's a special showing of my favorite movie, Grumpy Old Men, on TMC.
Well, I don't want you to miss that, Bernie.
I was supposed to be in that, but they cast somebody else.
Well, I think you could have almost another life, just starting out there and start auditioning for some of these wonderful old men roles. They'd be perfect for you, especially the grumpy ones.
It says Larry David hasn't done the Curb show. I think I will do it.
I think that's a good idea.
Because I do a great Larry David.
Yeah, I think you do an excellent Larry David.
Thank you very much.
I mean, you've got the 1%
of people who could do Larry David.
Exactly. I mean, you are spot on. You do Larry David better than Larry David does Larry David.
That's what his wife said. Bazinga.
Well, Bernie, it's great to talk to you, and don't miss your show. Go watch Grumpy Old
right
Men.
Now.
Okay,
I'll get
sweetheart.
That, okay, you could Mr. Coach take over.
Okay.
Wow, that was exciting, Madam Secretary. I wasn't expecting Bernie to call.
I enjoyed talking to him. I think we have more common ground and things we believe in, together, than we have anything that separates us. There's no way that we're not going to work together. I mean, we have to.
That's right.
The stakes are too high.
Well, you got to take them off the flame then.
Exactly.
I'm so sorry I had to say that. Now, I'm very shocked. No one has called in yet besides Bernie, who might have had a question. Is anybody – this is another opportunity to ask the – Secretary Clinton. I was almost going to say Senator Clinton.
Senator. Well, I've been there, done that. I've done First Lady. I did First Lady of Arkansas. Hold on. I can't get – just one second.
Are we having
I'm having a technical problem.
A technical
here.
As long as it's not this is the one show you don't have to worry about a wardrobe malfunction.
What's the number?
The number here, once again, ladies and gentlemen, is 646
929 2893.
Yes. So if you have a call, but now is your time before before our main guest comes back. She must have gotten a whole lot of yogurt by now. That Arkansas yogurt. Well, maybe
I've been sort of dry. I haven't had my San Pellegrino water, and I may have to fire her. I mean,
Well, that would be a shame, and especially at this going into this final stretch.
Yep.
Oh,
yep.
I think I see a caller. I see a caller. This is very exciting. Okay, we're going to take this call. Yes, from the 917 area code. Okay, caller. Okay, we have a caller. Are you with us, caller?
Yes, I am.
Now, what is your question or comments for Madam Secretary?
Wouldn't you like to know who I am?
Tell me, who are you?
I'm Hillary's confidant. Husband, Kelly's husband.
Really? Wow.
Yes.
Kelly didn't tell me that you were going to call in. Okay, this is exciting. Okay, tell me, Mr. Carroll.
Yes. I want to know if Hillary is in favor of choosing Bernie as a vice presidential candidate.
Whoa.
Whoa. Well, I really think that Bernie could do so much better staying in the Senate and really pushing his progressive ideas through the Senate. He's got a lot of clout now, and he probably would be head of the Finance Committee. And I think that's where we need him. I think for vice president, I probably need someone other than Bernie, because I think we need someone younger than the two of us are. I mean, he's older than I am, but we're still older. And we need somebody who could really take over as president of this country.
Don't you think it would lock up the millennial votes?
Well, I don't think necessarily it would lock up the millennial vote. That's only because the millennials need to have him say to support Hillary, if in fact I do get the nomination. And I think they will find out what he's got to say is that, you know, we don't want Trump, and so we need to support Hillary Clinton.
According to Facebook, several sources have said you've clinched it.
Well, that's a little bit early because we haven't voted tomorrow. And tomorrow we've got California and New Jersey, and I think it's Montana and North and South Dakota and Washington. I don't think that we've clinched it. I'm still working out in California for every vote.
What about doubling down on the females with Elizabeth Warren?
Well, I want Elizabeth Warren in the Senate. We don't want to give up those Senate seats.
That's,
you know,
right.
people, because we have to take over the Senate, you know, and have a majority in there to get anything passed, because right now the Republicans have the majority. So we can't let these Senate seats go. It's too important.
Choose a Republican and vacate a Senate seat.
What are you saying? I'm not understanding.
Choose a Republican to run with you so you can vacate a Senate seat.
Well, that would be like, matter and antimatter, don't you think?
Yeah. No, that's...
Like worlds could explode. And
Andrew, I think the man has lost his mind.
Yeah.
No Republicans would I want running along with me. I do like a lot of... I would love... the new Senator Cory, you know, from New Jersey.
Cory Booker?
Yes, but he's a senator. So once again, we need him in the Senate. You know, this is not a time where we can use senators, you know, as people who will be vice president. I like a lot of other people, though. You know, Julian Castro is quite wonderful. We need the Hispanic vote, so that might be an option. There are so many talented people out there, women and men. But it's definitely not going to be Bernie, and it's definitely not going to be Elizabeth Warren, and it's not going to be Cory Booker. You know, they can run later, but not at the moment.
Never say
okay.
Never.
Yeah.
Yeah, Bernie sent a message from the chat room. He thought that a millennial was Donald Trump's wife. I told him to go back to the movie.
That's Melania. Yeah,
that
the one who wears no clothes.
Ah, okay.
Anyway.
Funny.
Yeah.
that Bernie. I'm feeling the burn.
Yeah, I feel the burn, too. And I think the burn needs to... maybe take a time out,
It's just time out, Mr. Sanders. Has Kelly gotten back yet in the limousine?
I don't think so. She probably got stuck in the elevator.
No, here she comes, Kelly.
Oh. Thank you, Madam President. I'm sorry. I'm speaking out of turn. Madam Secretary.
I like Madam President.
Thank you so much for taking the phone while Kelly went and did an errand for you.
And thank you, Madam Secretary, for talking to me.
You're welcome. Anytime.
Okay. Thanks for calling in, sir.
Bye.
Oh.
Okay. Where is Kelly? Is Kelly with us yet?
Kelly is here. I get to be me for a while.
Kelly.
Hi.
Hi, Kelly.
Hi, Andrew. I'm thrilled to be here. This is so much fun.
I actually for a while forgot that I was having Kelly Carroll on the phone because I started to really feel I was speaking to Hillary Clinton.
Good. Oh, good.
Yeah.
I'm so glad.
No, I was, we could have probably pulled this off for the next 4 years, if necessary.
Sounds good to me.
Yeah.
I hope it's for the rest of my life. There's a woman who impersonates the Queen of England, and she's been doing it for about, I don't know, 40 years or something, has made millions of dollars doing the Queen of England. So that sounds good.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you sometimes you get the unlucky draw, like Von Meter certainly had the unlucky draw in that circuit.
Yeah.
But then you had, I can't remember the guy's name anymore, this guy who did the greatest Ronald Reagan. The funniest
who was
guy.
The guy who did the greatest Ronald Reagan?
Oh, in the Isis Seaman Clubs in New York. And he was so good and funny. You've heard nothing from this guy since Reagan left.
Yeah, that's what happened. Same like with President Kennedy and, that wonderful guy.
You have to have a little diversity, you know. So now you have, so let's talk about Kelly Carroll. Let's talk about your story. How did you get to what you're doing now? What are some of the things that you have done that you're known for? And I gave a little introduction earlier. And also, if you're listening in on the show page, I have a much longer introduction, and I also have some video clips that are linked there. And I have a couple of those. I've taken the sound, so we might get to do one or two of those before we end.
Oh, I'd love that.
That
would
be
so
great.
Much fun.
So,
what's the story? I didn't really. This was like 24 years ago, I guess. And I went on two Actors Equity auditions. And at that time, my hair was, long, kind of in a flip with the headband and the bangs. And I walked in and the casting director said, "You look just like Hillary Clinton." I said, "Oh, okay." And I didn't think anything of it. The next day, I had the same thing happen. And I said, "Okay, I look just like Hillary Clinton." Well, strangely enough, on that horrible channel, Fox News, there was a commercial with someone modeling who supposedly looked like Hillary Clinton, Hillary wig, the new Hillary Clinton wig. And I looked at her and I thought, I actually look more like her than this woman. She was she was good, but she was kind of a caricature of Hillary. Her nose was very kind of pug-nosed and it was kind of a comedic looking face. And I thought, I think I look more like her. So I called up the radio, the TV station, and I said, I was just wondering who was the person who got that Hillary Clinton impersonator. So they gave me the name of this wonderful manager who was her manager, and I called her up and sent my picture, and the minute she got the picture, it wasn't even a Hillary picture, she said, would you be willing to do a job tonight? And so my first job, God help me, was for the rap party for Rush Limbaugh's television show at Patsy's Restaurant on 56th Street in New York City. And I went in there and, you know, played Hillary and roamed around. And Rush actually was delightful. He wasn't nasty to me at all. He actually wasn't married at the time, and he asked me out. And I said,
wow.
I said, oh, Rush, I'd have to talk to Bill about that. You know, and he was charming. I never would have gone on his show because he's a pit bull, and he is a policy wonk who knows every. He would have made me look like a horse's ass on national television, you know, doing Hillary Clinton, and I wasn't about to do that because I adore Hillary. So that happened, but I wanted to tell you another job that I had because she gets both huge hatred coming her way, and also enormous adulation. So one of my first jobs was in Utah, of all places. I don't know why these people hired me. It was for retired Republican CEO, CFO, Mormon Shriner men. They don't like women, let alone Hillary. Hmm. And I think what they wanted me to really do was, like, you know, jump out of a cake with my boobs flapping or something. And the applause was like, clap, clap.
Really?
Clap. Three of them got up and walked out. Senator Orrin Hatch was in the audience, and he stayed. But all the questions were like double entendre if they said anything. It was just, you know, sleazy kinds of things, which I wouldn't answer. And you can't tell it. This is early. You can't tell it on the video, but I am so sick and had a migraine, and I was ready to throw up on the podium, but I'm playing Hillary Clinton, so, you know, I just kept it together. But I sang seven songs. I talked for, I mean, it was like 50 minutes. I did this whole show. When I got off stage, it was like I had dysentery. I was so sick. It was horrible. Then, though, NBC News took me around a mall in Salt Lake City. And even after I sang, you know, whether I'm right or whether I'm wrong, I've got to be me, I'm just Hillary. You know, she's not going to sing in the middle of the mall. Well, this is when she was pushing to get health care in this country. Three separate women came up to me. The first one who came up to me said, my daughter is dying of a rare disease. Could you please get her to the Mayo Clinic? Oh, my God. A second one came up and said, my mother is extremely ill. There's a new trial, I think, at the Cleveland Clinic. You know, can you help? And another one did. Their souls, their hearts were literally hanging outside their bodies, you know. And I didn't want to embarrass them. And they thought I was Hillary Clinton. They they were desperate. And now I know how to handle it. At that time, because I knew I couldn't promise anything, I just said, well, thank you for your support. We're really working on this. And I scooted away. Now I would go up to them, put my arms around them, and say, you know, I am so sorry, but I'm an actor who looks absolutely almost identical to Hillary Clinton, and there is nothing I can do. I wish I could, you know. And it still makes me want to sob when I think about how desperate they were. But it's been a bumpy road, you know, to actually even do Hillary over the years. They would say things like, well, Hillary doesn't sing. Why would we want her to come? You know, and like no imagination whatsoever.
Right.
You know, my manager had to fight that. Now, lately, she really knew the corporate event world, which is where huge amounts of money are made. The guy, Tim Waters, who was a real estate salesman, he was like a spot on Clinton. He was the most famous one, Tim Waters. And he was making, back in the day, as Clinton, $10,000 a performance in the corporate event world.
Wow.
And he made $1 million in a year.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. So now they're paying, in that high-end world, $25,000 to $35,000 a performance. And that's the nut to crack. So
I'm going to do my Bernie now. I'm going to go and do a corporate Bernie.
Exactly. But nobody will care about doing Bernie anymore.
Oh, you're right. Forget it.
Yeah.
I take it back.
Yeah, he'll be old news. But that's horrible to say.
No Bernie for this boy.
Yeah, I don't think so. You do a great Bernie, by the way.
Thank you very much.
You're very welcome. But it's been a strange thing. So I decided to do a one-woman show called Hillary Confidential, a heart-to-heart cocktail cabaret, because we did it at the Duplex. Now it's Cocktail Conversation, because we want to try and do it, as you mentioned, for Democratic fundraisers throughout this country. The show and the new show we're writing and the show after she wins will be extremely pro-Hillary, pro-women, and are perfect for Democratic fundraisers, from president, governor, Congress, down to Trump catcher. I mean, can be any
catcher.
Of those.
We need a Trump catcher.
We do. We really.
That would
we
be
need
great.
To do
that would be a new
something
position.
To him. So I've been trying to contact all of the state Democratic parties, and if I see an email there, I contact them. And I've gotten some nibbles from the campaign itself, as well as Christine Pelosi, who runs the Women's Caucus in California, is interested in hiring the show.
Is that Nancy's daughter?
I think so. Okay. I think it is. I would imagine it is. I haven't looked that up. I've been so busy trying to get to each state and contact people. I hear Al Franken is someone to contact, and I hear that I should do my show at the Friars Club.
Well, between you and me, we certainly know many friars who could help with that.
Do you know a lot of friars? Because
I certainly don't. I thought
wow.
you did.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, that
do.
Might be a way, because they're real strong Hillary supporters and have donated a lot, from what I hear, to her campaign. So I know that they, you know, would really enjoy it. And there's something called the Metropolitan Club, and I was thinking the Yale Club and the Harvard Club and, you know, all of those clubs around town would be, you know, another place to do the show.
That would be terrific.
Yeah.
And speaking of the show, I would love to play a sample here, a little bit of one of the performances that you gave me the links for. I have a few here, so you could tell me one. I'll enjoy being your girl. Poor wandering me. What's that?
Well, that's when I was Secretary of State, and I had this nightmare Trump was president, and he wanted Sarah Palin as Secretary of State. So that's a good one.
Okay,
also,
do
you have
this.
Rich, Famous, and Powerful? Or
I do have Rich, Famous, and Powerful.
That
and
one's
so,
good, too.
So let's do this one. It's Poor Wondering Me. It's 3.5 minutes, and then after that we'll get to wind down. We only have down to our last 6 minutes of the show.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes. Madam Secretary was here for a while before that limo came back. That was what happened there.
Let's listen to Poor Wandering Me. It's got
Poor Wandering Me, Kelly Carroll as Hillary Clinton.
I had a real nightmare the other night. Donald Trump was president. And he wanted Sarah Palin as Secretary of State. And she called me up and said, Hillary, can you tell me what it's like to be Secretary of State? And I said, you betcha. Poor schlepping all over the world. 1 million miles, 10,000 smiles, poor wandering me. If I had won Obama, he would have had my job. He'd have this crap dumped in his lap, and I could sit back like a bob. Japan soft and creamy male fish sperm, or some Maasai cow blood's milk and mice. Ah! Poor running me. Now I take K-O-pectate. Sometimes from home.
My Ed Sullivan just came out. now, where was this live performance? It took place where?
This was at the Duplex. That particular performance was April 8th. I did two performances in February and two performances in April, and it was April 8th at the Duplex. It was so much fun. Jason Wynn was the music director. My husband, Chuck Carroll, directed it. And the background singers are Justin Liebergen and Samantha Northart. And I'm going to be using them in the new show, all of
nice.
Them, even more, so much
okay.
more. It's going
to so
really
we have
be
to,
fun.
We have to wrap this up. We have less than 90 seconds to go. And by the way, for anybody not in New York, the Duplex is in the heart of the Greenwich Village. We only say Greenwich Village if we're talking to a non-New Yorker. Otherwise, it's the Village. Let's give us everybody your website again.
www.singinghillaryclinton.com.
Okay, wonderful. Now, the video of that, there's links, of course, probably on your website, and I have the they're on my page. There are four performances that are shown there. And more importantly, if you are in any of the states that are having a primary tomorrow, the last primary of June 7th, 2016, please get out and vote.
Please vote. That's... Just vote. That's the most important thing, and that's how we're going to win this presidency,
that's
too.
That's right. You got to turn out. So I want to thank both Hillary Clinton and Kelly Carroll and Kelly's husband for joining in. festivities. And thanks. We will be back here soon here on Coach's Corner. Thanks, everybody, and have a great night.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Andrew.
You're welcome.
Have such a great time. Good night.